good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Luke chapter 2 with me this morning, please? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. The scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, bless this holy book now. In thy sweet name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Julius Caesar was one of the greatest Caesars that Rome ever had. He was murdered. He had adopted a young man called Octavius, or Octavian. Octavian was 18 years old when he found out about the death of his father, Julius Caesar. Octavian became Caesar Augustus. When Caesar Augustus went to the throne, Rome was a republic. When Caesar Augustus died, Rome was an empire. And here in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, you have a Caesar that is now a Roman emperor. And they have extended their authority and power all the way down to the Holy Land. These Jews in this far-off country were subject to the Roman Empire. As all governments do, he wanted tax money. And so therefore a decree went out to tax, and because of that, and because of the custom of their day, they had to go back to the place of their birth where they were registered to pay their taxes. This forced Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem. For the Bible said in the book of Micah chapter number 5, O Bethlehem, is where the Lord Jesus Christ will be born. And it was there they were forced to go to fulfill the Word of God. So Octavian, Augustus Caesar, had no idea that God was using him to fulfill Scripture. You don't have to know. That one that sits in the heavens worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. He raises up kings and puts them down. He calls presidents forth and sends them away. He will raise one government up and send another one away. He'll cause one country to come into existence and then send it to the ash heap of history. That's in the hands of Almighty God. And so Caesar Augustus had declared taxation over all the Roman Empire. God was using this because the Lord God is a sovereign God. He intended to bring a Savior into this world at a certain time and a certain place to fulfill the Word of the living God. And he did exactly as he said. The Scripture says in verse number 4, Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. This is a 60-mile journey from the north of Israel all the way down to the place of the birth of the lineage of David, which is the house of Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem is about 5 miles from Jerusalem. I've been there. I've been to the shepherd's field. I've been to the church of the Nativity that Helena, the mother of Constantine, had built about 300, 325, somewhere in there, A.D., over the spot where the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to have been born. No one knows exactly the spot, but they have that marked aside and have a church built there. But this was a long, grueling journey for a pregnant girl to make on the back of a donkey all the way from the north down to the south. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy on Joseph and it wasn't easy on Mary to fulfill the Word of God. But God intended for the Scripture to be fulfilled. Whether it's easy on us or not, my friend, God does not. It's not interested in a matter of your comfort and your ease. It's a matter of what God intends to do with your life. And so the Bible says in verse number 5, he went to be tasked with Mary, his espoused wife. In those days, chastity was a very important thing. No such thing as 40% of all the children being born out of wedlock. It did not exist in the land of Israel. In Rome and in Greece is a different story. But this is not Rome and this is not Greece. This is the land of Israel. And so to be espoused to one in the eyes of the people are the same as being married. She was bound to Joseph, and she was bound to him as his espoused wife. The reason she was still alive is recorded for you in the book of Matthew, that Joseph had chosen not to put her away, to not make a public example of her, but to put her away privately. And then the angel Gabriel showed up and said, that holy thing which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so Joseph, by faith, just the same faith that Mary had, had accepted the will of God. It never happened before, never happened since. And therefore, Joseph had taken what God had said in His Word and received the fact that he knew he wasn't the father. He received the fact that no other man on this earth was the father of this child. This was a supernatural birth. So he received Mary, and he received what was happening with her by faith, and took her with him to the south. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She carried through the third trimester, and she brought forth a son, verse number 7. And this is her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse 14 says this of that birth, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Say, preacher, you believe all that? You better believe I believe it. If my friend God Almighty cannot have a virgin birth, He can't save your soul. The sin death that man has and the sin that eats away at your very soul is far greater than anything you can do about it. It takes the power of God to do something to change your life. And so the Bible said in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. All the Bible colleges in this country can be measured by whether they accept the virgin birth or not. If a Bible college rejects the virgin birth, reject that school. Get away from it. Run from it. And get as far as you can. Because it's nothing in the world more than a religious hellhole that has denied the Word of God. If the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, is not virgin born, according to the Babylonian Talmud, He's not virgin born. The Babylonian Talmud teaches to this very day that Christ was Ben Pantera, the son of a Roman soldier. They teach that to their young people as they grow up. And that Babylonian Talmud that's taught throughout the synagogues of this world is used as the authority to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the great doctrines of the Jew to reject Christ, is the fact that their Talmud teaches that He was born of a Roman soldier. His name Jesus is not in there. It's written in the form to where they understand the words. It's written in code term. They know who they're talking about. So that from generation to generation, they can pass this knowledge down to their children and yet not be held accountable by some Christian king or Christian magistrate whatever country they may be living in at the time. So the Lord shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. Hallelujah to God for the supernatural. Amen. So the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, she brought forth her firstborn son. And the Bible said there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds are there at night. They're there in the daytime. They're there 24/7. A true shepherd is there watching over his sheep. A true shepherd is like David. When the fox, or when the wolf, or when the bear, or when the lion comes to steal away, he will meet it head on, face to face, and stop it in its tracks. The Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he watches over me like he watches over you. For your adversaries, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God did not reveal himself to the king on the throne. He revealed himself to the shepherd in the field. The shepherd in the field has more sense than the king on the throne. The shepherd in the field understands what life is about. He knows hardships of life. He knows what it is to sweat. He knows what it is to be hungry. He understands what it is to bust his knuckles when he's working. He knows what it is to get up and, my friend, go to work in the dark and come home in the dark and then hurt all night long because his bones ache. He's been laboring. The shepherd understands what it is to sleep on the hard ground, my friend, to fight the enemy. The king sitting on the throne wears fine apparel. He sits up where he legislates. He lifts up higher than men. So the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and the shepherds heard about it. Why? Because they can understand the message of salvation. The elite save themselves. But the Bible tells us plainly, not many wise, not many great men of this world, but the men who understand life are the ones that he came to. And so to the shepherds he came. Notice what happens in verse 8. They were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. Something supernatural is taking place. The heavens are beginning to shake. The principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places have been alerted. Something has happened with a virgin birth. A woman has brought forth a child, and all hell knows about it at this moment. You can believe that every demon, you can believe that every angel, you can believe that all the archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, and everything, my friend, understands something's going on in Bethlehem of Judea. Look what the scripture says. In verse number 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Great joy, which shall be to all people. Great joy, joy, joyful, joy to the world. The Lord hath come. Joy deep down in the soul, because something marvelous has taken place. Something that had never happened before, never happened since. God now is incarnate in flesh. God has come down to man from above, from that invisible world that you can't even see. He has come into this world that we live in, and he has appeared to mankind. A little child is there in Bethlehem of Judea, 6 months before, when Mary had visited and come to Elizabeth, her cousin, and had come to her. And my friend Elizabeth looked at Mary and said, my Lord, that's in your womb. Talking about the little baby inside the womb of Mary. Elizabeth understood that the child she was bringing forth was a supernatural birth. He would be great. He would not eat. He would not drink wine or any of that. He was a Nazarite from his birth. He would go out into the field and he would prepare the way of the Lord. But as far as the heavens are above the earth, so was this babe inside the womb of Mary than the one that Elizabeth was bringing forth. And she acknowledged that right on the spot. my Lord. This baby is my Lord. This baby is the one, as Simeon said, who is set for the rising and fall again of Israel, the Savior of mankind. This little child inside the mother's womb. Let me say to you this morning, dear friend, there is no Savior outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can save you but the Son of the living God. There is one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look carefully at what it says in the text. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." In verse 10, the angel said, "Now I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now watch this. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior is born, and this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now let's stop just a moment. The announcement has been made. I have every reason to believe that Gabriel probably is the one making this announcement. For Gabriel is the one who announced to Mary that she would have a child. It was Gabriel that stood by the altar and told Zechariah that he'd have a son. It was Gabriel that had come down, and God had sent this messenger. He had sent this archangel. He had sent him down to this earth. He had come down from the land of light and eternity into this land of darkness and death and temporal life. And Gabriel had showed up. And Gabriel had made an announcement. Now the angels had just heard. All the angelic host had just heard. The word had gone forth. A child has been born, and he is the Savior of the world. The angels at that very moment had to make a decision. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, every last angel, my friend, every last one of them that lives, had to make a decision. The Bible said plainly in the book of Hebrews, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." It was at that very moment when Gabriel announced that the Savior was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that like shock waves that went throughout eternity, from angel to angel, from being to being, and they made a choice. They either accepted what Gabriel said, that this little baby born in Bethlehem of Judea was God Almighty born in flesh, the Savior of mankind. The Bible said angels desired to look into those things. They wanted to understand the great plan of God, the sovereign will of the Almighty. But God only let them know so much. They had to observe like we observe, like Luke observed, and he wrote it down. And so all of a sudden, with joy in their soul, they that received the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, as the Savior of mankind. Look what the next verse says. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They busted loose and began to glorify God. Yes! For the plan of salvation that was unfolding before their eyes, the heavens were full of angels that said, "I take my stand here. I make my choice here. I will receive this one as my Maker, my Lord, and my God." And so they rejoiced. The heavens literally bust open that night, the dark night when the shepherds at one moment were sitting over their flocks, keeping them. The dark night when the moon was shining and the stars could be seen. The dark night when all was dark. All of a sudden, the heavens are full with angels and the glory of God is shining down on these shepherds. That was one night they will never forget. Amen. Amen. They started that night like every other night. Going to spend the night with their sheep. But buddy, that night changed. It changed in a moment. Suddenly, the Bible says, not gradually, not with a build-up, but all of a sudden, bang! The heavens are full of angels. And they're singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice that the message that they brought. When these angels sang, they sang about the glory of God. Oh, how they began to glorify God. how they begin to receive in their soul how much greater He is even than they are. How much greater God is than I am and you. How much greater is that infinite mind, that almighty being, as He gives us piecemeal, as He feeds us spoon-fed His mind, His knowledge, as He leads us along and teaches us and shows us what He intends to do with us in the future. And the angels just sit back and they say, my, what's going on? He never took counsel with them. There never was a time in eternity past when God, with some great table, sat down with the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and said, this is what I'm going to do. No, sir, friend. You won't find that in the Bible. What you will find in the Bible is that almighty being that is from everlasting to everlasting, who knows all things, and He works every one of them after the counsel of His own will. He raised up Caesar Augustus so He could tax the world, and by taxing the world, force Mary and Joseph to go down to Bethlehem. Now listen. All you've got to do is read a secular history, and you're going to find out what Caesar did this, and Caesar did that, and Caesar said this, and this happened to Caesar, and here he went, and there he went. This army fought that army. But probably in the mind of God, the only reason for him ever existing is so He could tax them and send them to Bethlehem. That's how important Caesar was. Amen. Did you get that? We're near as important as we think we are. God got along a long time before I ever showed up. He'll get a long time before when I'm gone. I need Him. He doesn't need me. Amen. But those angels made a choice, and the choice they made that night when it was announced to the shepherds at the shepherd's field in Bethlehem of Judea, they made a choice that night that measured their eternity and set them for eternity future. They would never become part of the tale that Satan draws out in Revelation chapter number 12 when he pulls a third of the stars of heaven down. They would never be that group that left their first estate, came down to the daughters of men, and cohabited with them and produced giants. They would not be of that group. These are holy angels. Amen. And if you're holy this morning, you'll accept the truth of the Word of God in the shepherd's field. Bethlehem is quite a place. It is a rolling place. It has rolling hills. It's a beautiful place. Every place in the Holy Land has its own character. Galilee, when you get up there on the Sea of Galilee, it's a clean, refreshing place. And that's where He walked on the water. You come into Jerusalem and you feel the ancient pressure of that place. The wall of Jerusalem, the wall where the wailing wall where they pray. You feel it. You can go out to the Valley of Elah and look at the two hills and see where Goliath stood on one side, Israel on the other side. And David came down and met him. And you can just feel in your soul the contention, the confrontation that took place. It's all open with just the two hills. But Bethlehem has a sweetness about it. It has a goodness about it. It is where Christ, the Lord Jesus, was born and came into this world. Hallelujah to God. Now look what the Bible said. And the angel said, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 14. Here's the good tidings. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's a message from above. What is God's message to mankind? Goodwill. What is God's message to mankind? Peace. What is God's message to mankind? Don't cut each other's throat. Don't go to war and maul and maim and kill and blow up. And carnage and all of this. This peace from Almighty God. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. But on the other hand, there will be no peace on this earth. There can be no peace on this earth as long as man's a fallen creature in his heart and black with sin in rebellion against God. It will take the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will reign in righteousness. And when He comes to reign in righteousness, He'll bring peace with Him. So how's he gonna keep peace on the earth? He'll have a big rod, and it's made out of iron. Getting wide, pop. Egypt, America, pop! You say, why shouldn't they serve one like Christ? Because in their fallen state, just like you are, you're not serving Him. You're serving yourself. How many agree with that this morning? I'm glad we got honest people in here today. Nobody told you when you came in how pretty you are and how good you smell and how great you are and how wonderful you are. I'm going to tell you how wonderful He is, how great He is, how good He is. And when God saw Him die at the cross, He smelled a sweet savor. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him. And so when I hear the NBC, CBS, ABC, AP, and the rest of them, and they always do it Christmas time, they take the message of the angels and say, now where is the peace that He promised? And they'll show you the troubled spots on earth and show you. In other words, the idea is, oh yeah, the Bible says this, but here's the reality. Let me say to CBS, NBC, ABC, AP, and the rest of them, no, the reality is this. Peace is on its way. Peace is coming. But there's a peace on this earth right now that CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, and the rest of them, CNN, and AP, and all the rest of them, UPI, don't know anything about. It's the peace in the midst of the storm. Because you can't have Christ and not have peace. To have Christ is to have peace. How do they say it? To know Christ is to know peace, and know Christ is no peace. They say it some way like that. So did it fail? Reverend Moon, about 30 years ago, I don't know if you've ever heard, how many of you have ever heard of Reverend Moon? A lot of you haven't. He was a Korean, started his own movement, called him the Messiah. One of his great teaching points was, well, Jesus, the Messiah, failed in His mission. And God has raised me up to succeed where He failed. Well, I'd like to say, Mr. Moon, I don't know where you are now, son. But you sure failed. But Christ did not fail. Because had He ever known Him, He'd never make a statement like that. And it came to pass as the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. When you go back and read Matthew, you'll find out that Herod Great, the so-called Great. Have you ever heard of Herod the Great? He built all over the Holy Land. We have magi that come from the east. They had been following a star. They followed that star and it led them to the Holy Land. Now the magi knew all about Christ from Daniel, probably, because Daniel had been in Babylonian captivity. That's the area they came from. We have every reason to believe that that's probably where they got. Regardless of making a difference, whatever they got was right because they were led to the very spot where Christ was born. In other words, the country. They came to Herod the Great. And notice how that he received the news of this king. Said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And all Jerusalem was troubled at that saying. Do you know why they were troubled? Because Herod the Great was a monster. Just remember that. He was an Idumean usurper, a son of Esau, on the throne of David. He was a monster. Herod the Great lived for one thing like most people live for, self. He happened to be the king, and so therefore anything that threatened his kingdom, he would immediately do away with. He said, well, he consulted with his wise men. Where should Christ be born? My goodness, Herod, you seem to know quite a bit. I mean, here these come from the east. They're coming from the east. They've come a long way. They've seen his star. Here they show up in your country. Don't you think that's important, Herod? I mean, what in the world guided these men here? Now you consult with the prophets, with your prognosticators who read the prophets, And they look at the book of Micah and they say, the king, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Oh, okay. So the word passes to the wise men. Bethlehem of Judea. It's down south of us. It's down south. And so they go to Bethlehem. He says to the wise men, now, when you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can go worship him too. Notice the human heart. Has anything changed in 2,000 years? Let me know where he is and I'll go worship him too. The wise men went down. They found the babe in a house. They found the mother. I don't know exactly how old he was. I don't personally believe that these wise men showed up at the same place as the shepherds did. I believe it was some time later. And when they showed up, the baby now was not just a newborn infant. He'd grown somewhat. And they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh and presented it to this little babe. From the east they came and they brought this. That's the Bible, folks. I know we three men of Orient Art, all these are beautiful things. It's nice. It's all true. But it's based on truth. They did come from the east. Then the Bible says they were warned by God not to return to Herod. The Lord warned them, don't you go back to Herod. So the Scripture says they left another way. Left out of the country. They went back to their own land. When Herod found out that he had been betrayed by the wise men, he ordered that every child from the age of 2 under, every last one of them, should be murdered. 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 Has anybody ever met a Herod today? There are politicians right up there on Capitol Hill right now would do the same thing if they had that kind of power. There are tyrants in this world that already have done that kind of thing and will do it. They're being born at this very moment. They're suckling babes right now that once they're big enough, they'll become some of the most heinous murderers that ever lived. Look at the difference between the wise men, the shepherds, and Herod the Great. Did you know that Herod the Great went down to Jericho when he was dying? That he was one who had some disease, and you can still, these diseases are still around today. Whatever he had caused him to stink. His flesh was literally rotting on his body. He was stinking. You could smell him coming. God wanted everybody to know what a putrefying mess Herod the Great was. He had his own wife murdered, had his own children murdered. He was one of the worst murderers today. True to form, to have the 2-year-old and under killed. But Herod the Great had more light than thousands and thousands and thousands that have lived on this earth, lived out their lives and died. Herod had more light than they did, and he rejected every ray of it. And so when Herod the Great died, his flesh literally fell off his body. He was stinking. Now, what he had, we don't know. It's 2,000 years ago. Doctors can conjecture, and some may hit it, and some may not. Whatever, it didn't make any difference. His body was stinking. God wanted them to see he was putrefying before their very eyes. He wanted them to see where Herod the Great was headed. When he died, he went to hell. The shepherds rejoiced the rest of their life for that night, the sky. The angels made their choice at the birth of Christ. Forever they would be what they were by choice. They didn't have any choice in what they were created to be, but they made a choice in who they would follow. Amen. And so it was that you make a choice today. You can choose like the angels and like the shepherds. You can choose like Joseph did when Joseph accepted the word. You can choose like Mary did. Let it be unto thy handmaid according to the word of the Lord. Amen. All of them, notice, every last one of them made choices. Mary had to choose. She was a virgin, but she wasn't the only virgin in Israel. But she was a virgin. And Gabriel came to Mary, and she chose. And because of that, she becomes the virgin, mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll make a choice. One of the biggest differences between you and a dog and a cat and a cow and a rat and squirrels and eagles and the rest of them out there, one of the biggest differences between them and you is that you have a will. You can make a choice Now, you know as well as I do, folks, most of the people out here are running from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. And the only thing they got on their minds is the next sale they're going to. And they'll get on your bumper and they'll hit their horn and they'll cut you off and they'll run you off. And they get in a frenzy. And they could not care less about Christ that was born 2,000 years ago. But you make a choice. If you make the right choice today, you can look at these people and say, you know, folks, you're missing it. It's not about the fluff and the color and the glitz and the lights. It's about the one who came 2,000 years ago. Make a choice. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I've made my choice. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. And His word is true. Peace in the storm. Father, in Thy name I pray. I pray You'd use what I've said, Lord, for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, it's Your word, Lord, not mine. I'm just a vessel. It's not my word. It's Your word. This word was here long before I ever showed up, and this word will be here long after I'm gone. It's Your word. But I thank You for the privilege to see fit to allow me to preach it. Thank You in Your graciousness and Your mercy. You raised me from the dunghill and put me up here in front of people to preach Your word. I don't deserve that, Lord. I'm not worthy of that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If there's any in this house today, Lord, that they begin to really get a hold of the Christmas story, begin to really understand what the Christmas story is about, they'll see what I'm talking about. They'll see the Christmas story is about the incarnation, the birth of Christ. It's about God becoming a man. It's about Him coming into this world. I pray they see that. In Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Let's stand up and sing this morning.
Page 137 in your album.
That's a good one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Shepherds saw Jesus, Herod the Great saw power. There's a vast difference between the two. Well, we sing another verse, brother.
Turn your eyes upon.
folks, we're having a candlelight service tonight. Is that right? We're having it tonight. All right. Candlelight service tonight, an evening service, 6 o'clock. We take up food, folks. We give out food in Thanksgiving. We give it out again at Christmas. And, there's a lot of hungry people out here, and I think that's a very important thing to help people, and they need help like that. You don't have to go 75 miles from here up in Appalachia, and you'll find people living in dirt floors with no power and no running water. And that's rough to try to live like that. So we've come tonight, and we'll take up food. Bring food with you the month you're born. We bring it down to the front. If you don't have food, bring money. That's fine. We can buy food with money. We need money anyway to buy. We always get fresh milk and stuff like that. So, yes, ma'am. Okay. Sister. Okay. Now, what Sister Mann's talking about, if you know a family that needs food, they need help right now, then today's the last day to put their name in that box. There's the box right there on the outside the door on that table going out the left over there. So if you'd like to put a name in there, we'll put that name with the rest of them, see to it they get some food. So the time's running out, folks. If you know somebody, now's the time to do it. And we'll get that name